Save big money on your next painting project right now at Menards. Give your room a grand finish with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer with a tough, resilient finish that is ultra-scrubbable and stain-resistant. Save big on Pittsburgh paint. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, the trade deadline has come and gone. Lots of movement, no huge names, but lots of movement, which means a lot of people's values are shifting. How can you take advantage of the shifting values for so many guys across the league? Now's the time to act on that, whether it's making a trade, whether it's adding someone, trading away someone. Now is the time to get it done. So Vince and I will break down everyone's adjusted values based on this trade deadline. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. My name is Rami Lavie. That is Vince D'Amato. The trade deadline has come and gone. Overall, underwhelming. What are your initial thoughts?
Maybe an underwhelming name transfer, but overall, I think we got plenty of action. I mean, you know, there's no big deals, but lots of moves that I think have impact on the fantasy world and impact for a lot of these teams making playoff pushes.
Yeah, definitely some fantasy buzz. Shout out me, by the way. Last episode, I said, I know, shocking.
Are you going to be able to shout out yourself? I don't even know. But, yeah.
But last episode, I think I mentioned Austin Hayes, kind of like a throwaway. I mentioned Austin Hayes as a guy who, you know, was going to be fired up, excited, rejuvenated to be in that lineup. Dude, he's been awesome for Philly, and Philly's been terrible, and they've been slumping. And Bryce Harper, by the way, it's crazy that I won last week 6-3-1, right?
Yeah.
And Bryce Harper did nothing for me, and Freddie Freeman did nothing. Like, it's incredible that I won last week without Freeman and Harper.
I know you were worried about players. That was the long week too, right? Wasn't it? Right?
No, the long week I ended up winning 9-1. It was all good. Okay. Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? The All-Star break was already like 2 weeks ago. I saw wins. I saw a funny meme today that said wins in the last 2 weeks. AL All-Stars 1, Chicago White Sox 0.
I did want to point out, too, you mentioned Austin Hayes. Something that may be notable, we'll see how much it really is an impact, but he didn't have any stolen bases with Baltimore. He's already got 2 in 5 games with Philadelphia, so it could be another little sneaky value there, too.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like, hey, a guy feels like he's found his place or, because Baltimore is a good team, so you can't say it's like a playoff push, but I think there was a constant, like, you know, undefined roles situation going on. And we'll get into a little bit later when we talk about, you know, Stowers and Norby getting traded. I saw a funny tweet there that also, I'll just say it now. It was like, congrats on Kyle Stowers and Connor Norby finally being freed of Norfolk. Unfortunately, Miami's only marginally better. So, you know, but yeah. they'll get full playing time, you assume, and that's one of the big adjustments. But yeah, it's sometimes, and the first guy we talk about here on our list, we'll get to him in a second, sometimes just the change of scenery, going from Baltimore fans who are a little bit more calm, your role's undefined, you're battling for playing time with Santander and Kowser and a couple other guys who could play the outfield, O'Hearn maybe, who they could throw out there, right? Yeah, Cedric Mullins. And then all of a sudden you're going to a new spot where your role's defined. Hey, you're the starting left fielder, which is what he is in Philly. You're in a lineup, even though Bryce is struggling and Schwarber's struggling and all, and Trey Turner's just coming back and struggling. And Alec Bohm's not as good as he's been earlier in the year. You're in Philly where they're fired up and you're at a home game. And when I was down in Baltimore, Philly came down to Baltimore and the Philly fans took over Camden Yards for the weekend. I think it was a weekend series. Like, that also just showed me how special it is to be there. Sometimes it just changes everything. And there's a human element to all this. I know it's fantasy baseball, but there's a human element to this that we got to pay attention to.
And that's something I was thinking about as I was watching Christopher Morel hit his second home run today with Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Who we'll talk about both of them. Morel and what the hell's his name? Paredes. I was gonna say Candelario, but Paredes. Morel hitting a second home run, maybe there's a lot less pressure for him in Tampa Bay. He's another guy, like, change of scenery. Maybe, you know, not being in Chicago, that stadium is packed all the time. The fans get nuts. I don't think Tampa Bay is like that. I remember watching him hit that second home run, and as he's trotting around the bases, the stadium almost seems empty compared to a typical day at Wrigley. So maybe a little bit less fan pressure from him is, you know, something that could be, you know, you talk about the human element. Maybe that's for him will be a little bit of a boost to his value too.
Yeah. So let's talk. The first guy we have on this list is obviously Jazz Chisholm Jr. I mean, the boost he's gotten, I don't think we've seen anything quite like this. He gets traded to the Yankees from Miami, and he's talking like, wow, I just came to the big leagues from the minor leagues. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's obviously close with CC Sabathia. He's close with Derek Jeter. He's talking about those two Yankee legends. He shows up, right? He gets traded. The day he gets traded, the Yankees are playing the Saturday, like, you know, primetime Fox game in Boston. And then the next day, his first game is a Sunday night baseball game in Boston. Like, he shows up middle of the rivalry, and the Yankees have won 5 games in a row since they traded for him. He hits 4 home runs in the first 2 games in Philly. The second one, I mean, and this is, you know, the first home run he hit, which was great. Everyone's talking, oh, he doesn't hit any of his home runs the other way. Look at all his home runs are the pole side. The first home run he hits is to the first row in left field the other way. And then he uses Judge's bat against the position player, where he's like, yeah, I'm just going to use Aaron Judge's bat. Why not? Because the position player is pitching. Hits the second home run. Well, then last night hits the biggest home run of arguably the Yankee season so far, puts the team on his back, wins that game for them, and then, you know, has another great day, moves to third base. Sure, I'll move to third base. And he's playing an incredible third base. So I think, you know, he's a guy who has all the talent. And this is – it may have been – I forget who said this about him. It may have been Cameron Maybin who was saying this is a guy who has all the tools. Oh no, I remember it was someone in the media, but said this is a guy who has all the tools, but never could put it together for some reason or another. Maybe part of that is just kind of being bored down there and not feeling the energy. He hasn't even showed up to Yankee Stadium yet, and he's apparently already feeling the energy, right? And when he comes home to Yankee Stadium on Friday, I think he's going to feel that energy from the Yankee fans, and he's going to get a standing ovation just from being out there. First of all, Yankee fans were desperate for a trade. Second of all, the way he's, you know, performed so far, when he puts those pinstripes on, he's going to be rejuvenated. So I think, you know, that could boost his career. And you know what? He's putting everyone else on notice too, because, hey, Alex Verdugo, you struggle. Guess what? Jazz Chisholm's playing the outfield. You're on the bench. DJ LeMahieu, we saw this already. You struggle. And of course, today he has 6 RBIs, but you struggle. Jazz Chisholm's going to come in and play third base. Gleyber, I'm a second baseman. Well, if you're struggling as a second baseman, guess who's going to play second base? Jazz Chisholm. It puts everyone on notice. So, you know, as we shift to talking about those guys, you know, I don't know what the value of Gleyber, Verdugo, and DJ are anymore. I don't know if you can roster those guys. You know, DJ's got Gleyber's probably has the most secure spot of those three, because obviously Verdugo has the Grisham factor. He also obviously has the Dominguez factor, which we'll talk about in a second. But first, I want to get your thoughts on Jazz, and then we'll talk about the other guys.
Yeah, so this is probably the first time Jazz has had a real team that he feels like he's playing for, you know, or that there's these games matter. And just that alone seems to have elevated his, you know, swagger, just the way that he looks at the game and enjoys the game. I remember this offseason when they wanted to, Miami was like, they wanted to move him off second base into the outfield. He immediately said, I'll play anywhere. I'll play the best damn center field you've ever seen. I'll be a gold glover. That's the kind of guy that the Yankees got. And it's just such a dramatic shift between that and Gleyber, but we won't dive too much into that. You know, I think about like Luis Robert. Luis Robert's another one. All the tools in the world. How long can you really play for the White Sox in this condition? I mean, they're on pace to lose more games than any other team in MLB history. Luis Robert will probably fall into that same trap. But if we're talking about Jazz, I mean, you mentioned some of the numbers. So far, he's 7-for-19 in 4 games. That's .368 average with 4 home runs and 8 RBIs, plus a stolen base.
Stolen base was a third, too, which is awesome.
I mean, he's putting it all together. We've known the tools have existed for quite a long time. I actually called this out on a solo episode that I did, that you should buy low on Jazz because he's a name that could get moved. And, here we are. He got moved and his value has just gone through the roof since then.
Yeah. And what's great about Jazz as well is the Yankees are playing terrible teams the rest of the way, essentially. I think they have the third easiest strength of schedule the rest of the season. So maybe only two teams against, I think the rest of the month, they're only, or the entire month of August, they're only playing against two teams who are over 500. I think it's the Cardinals and Cleveland are the only two teams that are playing that are over 500 the rest of the month. So like
the month ends tomorrow.
No, I'm talking about the rest of August starting. Oh man. Yeah. They're not playing anyone else today. They already played today, but, and they played against a team over 500. But yeah, so my point is that the Yankees schedule is super light. So I expect the Yankees to be winning a lot of games. I expect them to flame out in the playoffs as always, but because Jazz Chisholm is going to revert back to who he's been and all that, you know, that's just how it goes. All right. As far as Dominguez was talked about on, you know, he doesn't get moved. Spencer Jones doesn't get moved. Brian Cashman's on WFAN today saying we like what we have right here, so we don't want to disrupt this. Obviously, it's been five games, but in the last five games, they like what they have. So they're not planning on calling up Dominguez yet. We'll see if that changes. Again, all it takes is one guy to start struggling, but really no, because if one guy starts struggling, that means, you know, Jazz is going to play in their spot. I think DJ LeMahieu can't be rostered anymore. I think Verdugo, still borderline, get what you can out of him. And Gleyber Torres, I mean, he sits on my bench every day. Like, I don't even, what do you do with Gleyber Torres?
That's kind of all you can do, right? Because the options out there at second base, especially, are so thin that, you know, you're like, well, Gleyber has the highest upside out of any of them. And the most, you know, you said the most secure position or job security right now. It's one of those, you kind of just, you're stuck with him. I mean, nobody, he's got no trade value. If you want to take the drop and you see something better, you want to shoot for the moon, go for it. Like, no problem dropping Gleyber at this point, but you know, he's still, I think he's, maybe Yankees fans don't feel this way. I have him rostered in a dynasty league, and maybe that's why. I still think there's hope, and maybe it's not this year. Maybe this year's a wash for him, but I still think he's a better hitter than what he's shown.
Oh, no, I think he'll go to Kansas City or a smaller market next year, maybe even Tampa, and be great. You know what I mean? I just don't, they're done. Like, somebody at Colin WFAN last night and was like, hey, do you think they extend the qualifying offer to Gleyber? And the answer we said was like, as the Yankees, I wouldn't extend it to him because I'd be scared he'd take it. You know what I mean? Like,
you're stuck with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want him. Yeah. I don't want to give him a qualifying offer.
If you could throw Jazz at second base in the future, yeah, I mean,
he's going to be, under contract next year. So
significantly better
baseman moving forward. And that's that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They have to go get a real third baseman after this season. I think they know that.
Yeah.
It obviously everything depends on what Juan Soto does, but I think Gleyber Torres, they should have traded him at the last offseason after he had the great year. But they were kind of like, why should we trade Gleyber Torres when he was our best offensive player outside of Aaron Judge? We need more offense, not less. So I understand why they didn't trade him, but then he took a major step backwards this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Right. We'll see how it pans out.
Jack Flaherty, who after last year, he was traded to Baltimore at the deadline, and then he put up a 6.5 or 6.75, something like that, ERA the rest of the way. Not great. And then he gets traded to LA for nothing, for peanuts, and you're at like really close to the deadline. And you're like, what's going on there? Why couldn't LA or why couldn't Detroit get a better offer for him? I have, you know, my brother-in-law from Detroit texting me like, this is the best we could do for Jack Flaherty. And then meanwhile, you know, the story comes out from Ken Rosenthal, oh, Jack Flaherty's hurt. Now, they asked Brian Cashman today about Jack Flaherty, and he wouldn't say that he was hurt, and that's why he said, oh, it just didn't work out for us. We tried to make the trade, and then we heard that they had a deal done with the Dodgers. So maybe he's not hurt. Maybe, I'm not sure what's going on. I didn't read the full Athletic article by Ken Rosenthal. I'm not sure what you're seeing. The upside is great, because he's pitched really well this year. He's going to be on a great team in the playoff run, you know, going again from Detroit, which is a mess, to LA. I mean, he's got to be elevated somewhat, but do you trust his health really the rest of the win? Look, right now he's rostered. You know what I mean? And then I have another health question for you after that, but first to answer on Flaherty.
I think his value will probably remain. I mean, let's be honest. I think the 2.95 ERA that he's put up and the 133 strikeouts to 19 walks, I don't know if he's that good.
He's not. And I mean, so, he had ace upside in St. Louis early in his career, right?
So Yes. And so I think that, and we've talked about it. It's about perceived value. Nobody perceives him as being that good. So the transition to the Dodgers, it makes me feel a little more comfortable for the injury point of view, right? I was definitely concerned when the Mets thing fell through, but the fact that the Dodgers are willing to, I mean, they've taken a risk on Tyler Glass now and it's totally paid off. Clayton Kershaw's been injured. When these guys throw, the Dodgers know how to use them. And so I trust that his numbers will be quality numbers. And last year, look, he threw 144 innings total. There's no reason to think that he couldn't throw 160, 170 this year. He's already at 106. There's no reason to think that they won't, you know, use him to that full potential. I'm not too concerned with the injury, but I do expect the numbers to, you know, regress back to, I don't know, maybe a mid threes ERA or something like that throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, gone are the days of CC Sabathia getting moved to Milwaukee and pitching once every third day and, you know, striking out 12 guys in a 9-inning complete game, one hitter, you know what I mean? Every third day. That's not happening anymore. But yeah, this is a guy who's going to be a solid starter for a really good team. And that should be good enough to give you good value in fantasy baseball. Two quick pitcher injury updates, because I just want to mention them before I forget. Gerrit Cole threw a bullpen today and said he felt fine. He was scratched from yesterday's start with general soreness, whatever the hell that means. I want to ask you this. So Zach Wheeler was scratched from his last start before the All-Star game. And we said, okay, we'll see. It's not a big deal. He's going to make his first start after the All-Star game. Let's monitor that, though. And then gets rocked by the Yankees in a way that he gave up three home runs in the first two innings. He had given up only 11 home runs all year prior to that. So, like, just a not uncharacteristic, weird start for Zach Wheeler. Would you be shocked if he ends up on the IL again?
A little bit. I don't think they would have let him go out there. I mean, with how well Philly's doing, I don't think they would have let him run out there if he was actually hurt.
Well, they're slumping. Phantom. They've been slumping almost worse than the Yankees the last month.
Sure. The
last 3 weeks, I should say.
I would argue, though, they still feel very safe. What's their lead right now? They still feel safe. I mean, they're 6.5.
Well, Atlanta and the Mets haven't been great. They've been playing like 500 ball between the two of those teams also. So, yeah,
I just have a hard time believing that they would have thrown him out there if he was hurt. They would have put him on the IL, I think. But if he goes out and struggles again, maybe there's something that he's dealing with that he's not communicating with them. So I absolutely think that's on the table. But I'm not worried about it until, you know, we see two or three starts of this. The one start, it's the Yankees. I'll let that slide, even though the three home runs he gave up weren't the best. They didn't look the best, but I'm going to let it slide. It happens. It's baseball.
Well, he hung the breaking ball to Judge. The Ben Rice home run was a fastball on the inner half that Rice just got his hands in and turned on it. That was just a great piece of hitting. That was a good pitch, I thought. And then the Chisholm home run also, like, it was a breaking ball on the outside that he just kind of lofted the other way and got it out. So, you know, a couple hanging breaking balls and a good fastball that just got hammered. Yeah, I didn't think they looked terrible. What was more concerning was the at-bat against Juan Soto, where he just grinds him out and he makes him throw eight pitches, then Soto gets the two-run double. That is probably the at-bat that you look at that you're like, man, that's unWheeler-like, that he couldn't put him away. And I know it's Juan Soto who does that to everyone, but still.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, you know, last two games, they've scored 19 runs. Plus seven.
Go back to the games against Boston, right? They score all those runs. So they scored, what, six today? They scored seven yesterday. Mm-hmm. They scored
14
the day before.
I think they're just hot.
Yeah. I mean,
they scored 11.
Right. And then again, seven or whatever it was in Boston on Friday night that they lost. So
I'm not going to hold that against Wheeler. I'm just not.
All right. You're allowed to have a bad start from time to time. Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt this last name. Lucas Ercig.
I'll double check.
He goes to Kansas City, and I got a text immediately from my league mate who I traded James MacArthur to. And he's like, well, thanks for nothing. MacArthur had been struggling, and this feels like 1,000%. This is Ercig's closer job.
Yeah. I mean, with an ERA over five, MacArthur, you can move over. Ercig is he's not you know, a lockdown, shutdown guy by any means, but he's got good stuff and his ERA, he's looked better so far this year. So it does.
So I win that trade. I got JD Martinez for free. Right?
Yeah, I guess. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The next one I love. If you're done with Ursig, I love
that. Yeah, no, that's all. Yeah, cool.
Let's go to Josh Bell, traded to Arizona for cash considerations. Hey, this is what I said. He's going to be put in a team that's going to be in the race. They're still, I think, what are they, tied with the last wild card or chasing the last wild card? But hey, Rake City, baby. He's going to start hitting. Corbin Carroll started hitting. And now with the Christian Walker injury. So I don't know. This is the type of thing where, hey, ride him while he's hot. Josh Bell is going to play games because Walker's going to be out. And he's hot right now. So see how far it takes you. And then worry about it later. You're not going to have to give. I wouldn't trade for Josh Bell. But if he's on the waivers, yeah, sure. Pick him up.
Yeah, especially if you have Christian Walker. Yeah, especially if you have Christian Walker.
Yeah,
right?
Put him on your IL spot. Bada boom, bada bang.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's hot. Ride him. If it lasts all year, great. You got more than we expected from Josh Bell. If it doesn't, well, you drop him and move on and find someone else. It's kind of sad because, you know, he was killing it for the Marlins the week before they dropped him. And then it's just like, oh, hey, you know, you're too expensive. We're going to drop you. And they're eating over half of his remaining salary. He's owed 5.5 and they're going to pay 3.25. So it's kind of a weird situation, but yeah, absolutely. Pick up Josh Bell. He's got power. He was turning it on right before this move. So I don't see why he couldn't keep going.
It's weird. The Marlins are doing like, that's like such a basketball move that you do like when you're trying to tank. You know, like tanking in baseball doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Yes, get as many prospects as you can, and they did. So let's go there for a second. Connor Norby, Kyle Stowers, both to Miami. Are they going to get called up? Are they going to play? What's going on with their – what's their value right now?
Does look like Stowers is going to play. Norby was sent down, actually. Quite sure what the thought process is there. I mean –
can't get the Norfolk shackles off.
Yeah, maybe they're, they just are so infatuated with Xavier Edwards that they can't look at another second base shortstop type guy. I don't know. Don't know what it is.
Of course, by the way, Baltimore trades Connor Norby and then Jordan Westbrook gets hurt the next day. So yeah. With a fractured hand. So like, this is not like he's going to be out for, he's going to be out weeks at least.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I wonder if they do regret that a little bit, right? They have all this depth and then the like, day
hey,
after.
Well,
right.
Hey, yeah. Opportunity to play Jackson Holliday, a little spin zone. Kid hit a grand slam today. How about that?
I do think there's a little bit of value with Stowers. Again, we talk about it. He's going to play every day, but Miami's offense is putrid and it's just getting worse and worse. You know, no Jazz, no Bell. So we'll see how that part goes. But if you need just a bat, if you're a 15 team.
No Jazz and no Bell.
Ha, that was good. That was quick. That was really good. Yeah, Stowers has a little bit of value, but I wouldn't be rushing out to add him unless you're in 16-team, 15-team league or something like that.
Got it. Trevor Rogers is a guy who, I mean, he slots in to be Baltimore's fifth starter. It's kind of been a rotating door of Cade Povich and God knows who else, right, for Baltimore all year. You pointed out he has a 3.48 ERA in his last 10 starts. I didn't think he was even that good. Is this, you know, I don't know what his roster percentage is across leagues, but is this like a guy who's like, hey, plug and play, put him in your roster, he's going to be good and his team's going to put up runs for him and they'll be really good down the stretch?
Yeah, I'd like to see, it looks like he'll start on Thursday against Cleveland is the current expectation, but this could be better for his values. He's rostered in 49% of Fantrax league. So widely available, certainly potentially available in your league. And I don't see how this, I mean, Camden Yards is a great pitcher's park. So
now it is. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I just don't imagine this hurts him. Again, maybe the human aspect of, hey, I'm actually pitching for a winning team. Now we have a potential to do something big here. Maybe he steps it up, but yeah, he's definitely turned it on in his last 10 starts. He's only allowed more than 3 earned runs once and in his last 10, and then he's allowed less than 3 in almost every other one. So he's looked really good. His strikeout numbers aren't there 100%, but he's definitely looking a little better.
Jorge Soler. This is one of my favorite moves. My cousin texted me. He's like, hey, somebody offered me a trade for Soler. I'm like, do not trade Jorge Soler now. Now is the time where if you want to buy low on Jorge Soler, buy low on him. Because this dude, and I don't like, they had him hitting the home run with Joe Buck. Did you hear Joe Buck on the call?
No, I know you mentioned that. He called that,
the, him and Harry Carey's, right? That's who it was. What's the guy's name who called the games for the Cubs for years?
Harry Carey? Yeah.
Yeah. Was that who it was?
Yeah. I think it was his glasses. Hey.
Yeah. So I think his grandson and Joe Buck called a game together.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's Jack Buck, obviously, was the play-by-play guy for years for St. Louis. And I hadn't heard Joe this fired up in a long, long time. It was awesome to listen to. He had a little bit more in his voice. Like, usually he stays so even-keeled the whole time. And I guess that's when he's doing national broadcasts. But here, he's a Cardinals fan, and he didn't have to hide it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even when he called the Cardinals, he probably called maybe one of the greatest moments in Cardinals history, definitely in our lifetimes. With, you know, the David Freeze game, right? That game, he's on the call for that. And I don't even think he was as excited then as he was calling a regular season game after having not called baseball for a little bit. And now he could do it for a home broadcast where he has the right to, I guess, elevate the call because it's for the Cardinals. It was so cool.
Well, Soler went 0 for 3 today, so I'm out.
Don't care. Do not care. This is a guy who's going to show up. And I was saying, I got into Joe Buck because he was on the call when he hit that massive home run in Houston, of course. I think it wasn't it off Verlander in the World Series?
Sounds right. I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, he's going to be on that playoff run. I'm excited.
Yeah, especially last time it happened, right? They went on to win some hardware, and it was the same year Acuna went down. Acuna goes down this year, so Larry comes in.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
All right. Frankie Montas, you like this one. He goes to Milwaukee. Is this your sleeper CC Sabathia 08 pick?
I don't know if I wrote it in all caps, big upgrade by low, ? But I'm not sure if I absolutely love it. I'm not telling you go out and buy every share of Frankie Montas, but the Brewers are phenomenal with pitchers, right? He's going from one of the ballparks to, you know, one of the better ones in Milwaukee. I'm not expecting the old Frankie Montas, but if you think that, you know, he's as bad as he's been the first half, I would take him off your hands because I think he absolutely could be a very sneaky good pitcher in the second half. Definitely streamer worthy, but maybe even a little bit more consistent as we get down the stretch here.
All right. So who am I dropping to pick him up?
Depends on who you got.
Oh, I could. Do I drop Ben Lively? He's been great.
No, maybe not.
Do I drop?
He's also with Cincinnati.
Kyle Freeland. He's stunk his last couple starts.
Yeah, I could see that one. You know, half his games in Coors.
You liked Freeland though, right?
I did. He had a nice little hot stretch, and then he gave up 6 earned in San Francisco. And
I know.
Damn. Now I'm just all right. Sad.
So we're gonna do that. We're gonna call up Frankie Montas to the big leagues, to the roster, to the Rami roster.
All right. Yeah. I
you convinced me. That's it. That's all it took.
And his first start is against Washington. So, you know, nice little soft landing.
Yeah. Hopefully when's that?
That is August 2nd. So 2 days from now.
Oh, fantastic. Perfect. Friday. So I'll get a start out of him. Yeah. Amazing. Ahmed Rosario went to the LA Dodgers. To me, this kills any. We loved Ahmed Rosario this year. Good utility guy. Could play him at a couple positions in a Cleveland lineup that's been bopping a bit. In a Tampa lineup that's been bopping a bit. This is, you know, a guy who's going to be filling. Mookie Betts is coming back. He's going to be filling in at second, filling in at short, kind of sandwiched to try and find playing time between Gavin Lux and those guys. I don't love this for Ahmed Rosario's value.
Yeah, I mean, he just steps in at, you know, a time with all these injuries. Muncy's still down, Betts, Chris Taylor, Tommy Edmund, Rojas is on the injured list. So a bunch of guys that are injured that, you know, he may get some consistent playing time for a while, but unless he's going to, you know, continue to hit, they're not going to keep him. I mean, they're just too good. They're not going to let him run out there. This is definitely more of a super utility. You can play every position, defensive kind of specialist that, you know, the Dodgers kind of need right now. So I for fantasy, yeah, this absolutely kills his value.
Yeah. I mentioned Cleveland. Lane Thomas goes to Cleveland. That's my guy. He's on my team. I love Lane Thomas and I love what this does for him. You know, we talk so much about the young guys in Washington, and I think that's still a story here. I think keep riding those guys. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs there. The big story, obviously, like you wrote down here, is Lane Thomas going to Cleveland. That's the big story, because this is a guy who he batted second in that lineup, in a good offensive lineup, surrounded by a bunch of guys. He's going to play every day in right field. He's going to keep stealing bases at the top of that lineup. They like to make contact. They like to hit and run, and he's going to score a ton of runs with the people batting behind him in the lineup. So I think Lane Thomas, big boost for Lane Thomas and his value.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, you know, you're going from a terrible offense in Washington to a much better offense in Cleveland. The one thing that did slightly concern me, I don't know if it's enough to chase me away, but he stole 28 bases, but has also been caught 12 times. So a 70% rate. Maybe Cleveland's a little more cautious with stolen base.
Runs matter a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. But I either way, I think his value still increases. I think he's going to score more runs regardless of whether or not he steals. So his value, I think, does go up. And I think he's better than a 250 hitter. I think he's, you know, better than 8 home runs at this point in the season. I think he's just a better hitter than this. So hopefully Cleveland unlocks that too.
We talked about Seattle upgrading their offense. Arozarena and Justin Turner, that'll do it, right? Two big names go there. And I think both guys will boost each other. They'll boost the lineup as a whole. And guys like we talked about all freaking year, Cal Riley, J-Rod, what does this do for their value? I think, you know, everyone elevates each other.
Yeah, I mean, Arozarena's already hitting 316. He's already got a home run. You know, I talked about Victor Robles a couple episodes ago, and I said, you know, sell high on him because Seattle's offense is so bad. It doesn't matter if you're hitting at the top of the lineup. Now things are changing a little bit. Justin Turner, definitely capable of driving in runs. Cowboy, he's got to get his average up, but he's got some power. He's got speed. So they're starting to surround this team with a little bit more offensive talent, which they so desperately needed. Yeah, I mean, this I think only does good things to their value. I don't think there's anyone that has moved to Seattle that gets hurt. You know, maybe some of the current guys, but J-Rod's value is going to go up. Justin Turner's value is going to go up. Arozarena, everyone in that lineup gets a boost.
All right, so we mentioned this earlier, but let's just hit on it real quick from a Chicago perspective. Paredes and Morel, that swap, a weird one to me, right? Like, what's Chicago trying to do? Because they also then trade Leiter they flip him to the Yankees. So where's Chicago right now? What are they trying to do? What kind of value does Paredes have? You talked about Morel, the pressure being lifted off of him. Maybe that's better for him in Tampa. Although, like I said, no matter what, I mean, if Tampa trades for you, you turn into a superstar automatically. Yeah. That's how it works. But what, and it says here in the notes, shut your mouth, your whore mouth. Okay. Got it. That I didn't write that in the notes. So I guess you did.
Because you said Morel's going to be an auto superstar now, and I said you shut your
mouth. I agree. I agree with. I still agree with me.
You know, and I had been saying this for a long time. Maybe I don't know if there's something in Chicago's air. Everyone is doing horrible offensively. I just don't know what it is. And so, yeah, I told you to buy low on Christopher Morel weeks ago, and it didn't pan out the way that I thought. I thought eventually, you know, he'd slowly start to trickle back up, and he just hasn't. And so, I think this is like the. Now he will start to play to his underlying numbers, because his underlying numbers are phenomenal. I mean, he's one of the unluckiest players in the game. So we'll see. Again, 2 home runs so far with Tampa Bay. I think that's a good start. And as far as what Chicago's doing, it definitely seems like they're aiming for some kind of control, right? And we see this with the Braves have done it, where you get players and you try to get as much control over them for as long of a period of time. Paredes has a few years of control and he's cheap. And now the Cubs have solved. They've had a huge hole at third and at first base that they just haven't been able to solidify. Michael Busch, I guess you could say, is a little bit of a solidified first baseman, but this allows some time for them to still be competitive, because Paredes is still a good hitter. Like, I'm not saying he's,
oh, for sure,
but this does kill his fantasy value. I don't think You can sell them for nearly as much as you could have a couple weeks ago. But yeah, the Cubs are just kind of, I think, getting into a transition until Matt Shaw can come up, until Owen Casey can come up. And, you know, we see Pete Carl Armstrong come up, and I don't think he's necessarily ready, right? I mean, he's doing horrible. And so I think the Cubs maybe are a little bit hesitant because Shaw could come up and do the same thing and struggle. I think they don't want to see that. So they're getting a little bit more control rather than paying Morel more money at the end of the year. They're getting some guy with a couple years left.
Yeah, I mean, team control, cash consideration, and the international pool money, those have been like the biggest names at the deadline probably this year that we've talked about.
Funny.
It's so true though. Like, yeah. I sent a meme to my friends. I created it because they were the Mets trades. The Mets basically traded for a bunch of arms that high upside, you know, high downside, low downside also though, like, you know, could range, but all have team control. That was like the main thing. So I kind of like, I photoshopped a picture of like a banner at Citi Field and wrote, like, it says like 2015 World Series, 2001, you know, or 2000 World Series, 2000, whatever, NL East Championships. And then I wrote 2024 team control. You know what I mean? Like,
that's funny. That's good. Whatever, international but, play. International,
yeah, exactly. Cool, yeah. INTPL to name later. Yeah. But okay. So a couple of guys though left that we have here who their playing time is going to be uncertain. That's Jansen in Boston, Eloy going to Baltimore, and then Jesse Winker, speaking of the Mets, going to the Mets. Winker, to me, we talked about this. You just mentioned earlier Starling Marte is going to start a rehab assignment. How does that puzzle fit? I think Winker ends up being kind of more of a platoon, play against righties, you know, and Marte's still going to hit against lefties. I think that ruins his value a little bit because he had value. He's a good hitter. I think that kind of kills his value a little bit. I think Eloy, I mean, his value can't be worse. I mean, I would listen to this clip from this podcast of a bunch of Chicago fans talking about how happy they were to get rid of him. Speaking about picking up a contract, like, they're paying him. They're like, they're taking on that contract. Like, yes, great. Get rid of him.
Yeah.
The one thing that's interesting is Jansen, because we talked about him. He's catcher eligible, but he's not going to be playing catcher. He's going to be DHing a lot. So if he's becomes the full-time DH in Boston and he's hitting the way he's hit so far, I mean, that could be awesome because then he could play DH every day. Connor Wong could still be their catcher. And you're still getting a ton of value out of Jansen at the catcher spot because he's catcher eligible.
Yeah. I was worried for a while. I thought there would be more of a timeshare with Jansen and
yeah, we talked about that last episode.
Right. But it looks like, yeah, like you said, he's going to be DHing and Jansen will take on a backup, you know, Reese McGuire type role as a catcher, just giving Wong a day off or two here. But yeah, returning to Eloy, yeah, definitely a lot of people in Chicago are happy to see him. Not happy to see him go. I think they wish it would have worked out, but, you know, I saw... I think
they were tired of it. They were sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, you saw...
how Yankee fans would feel like if Glaber was traded. Like, we wanted it to work out, but it's just not working out.
Well, I think the difference, too, is Glaber at least had some good years. Eloy, it feels like, has produced nothing for the White Sox fans. Yeah, so, I mean, what is he? He's got 5 home runs so far this year, and he's hitting .240. Like,
18 there's just, RBI.
There's no value with that.
18 RBIs, 18 runs.
18 runs, yeah. There's no value. And he's not going to get enough playing time, I don't think, to be considered fantasy relevant. So this trade doesn't really move me a whole lot for Eloy. And then, yeah, Winker to the Mets as they get healthier. Marte comes back. I mean, he didn't start today against Pablo Lopez, and they threw out Jeff McNeil into right field. So they've already shown that they're, you know, they're going to play their guys and, you know, you're going to fit in when you can fit in. So, yeah, I think this kills Winker's value too.
You think Pete Alonso's value moves up for not being traded as we get into some of the guys who weren't traded?
I don't know. I think he's already in like a 70th percentile. I don't know where he would have gone that would have made his value increase. I mean, obviously.
I know, but just the deadline passing, we talked about this, and maybe some of that, the pressure there with the deadline approaching. Like, you think maybe that elevates his value a little bit?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit, I think. And the Mets, obviously, you know, Winker, he makes that team better, right? And they're starting to come around.
That offense is already good.
Yeah, so I think it does.
You think Jackson Holliday sticks this time?
you know, it was such a shot in the gut because I had a chance to trade for Jackson Holliday in in a dynasty league, and this was probably last week or so, and didn't work out. And I ended up making a trade for Ozzy Albies, playing for a little bit of next year, and then he comes up, you know, a couple days later and hits a grand slam. I'm like, am I going to regret not making that trade? And I think the price is a little too steep, but either way, I think he could stick. I mean, this team wants him here for the playoffs. I mean, this is a better team when he is clicking on all cylinders. And so I think they realize that they want him here. Yeah, I think he sticks, but I will say if he struggles, his leash is not long. It's not long at all.
Yeah. A couple other guys, Holmes and Fairbanks, stop the fire sale. They're going to both keep their closer jobs, at least for now. So I don't know how many games Tampa's going to win. And I don't know how many times Clay Holmes is going to come in and give up 30 footers or 30 dribblers that are ground balls that are going to kill him. But as of now, they have their closer jobs, so don't trade them.
Yeah. Do you think the lighter trade, for example, kills Holmes a little bit? Or what?
I think it definitely turns the pressure up on his ass a little bit. It's like, hey, we have someone here who we can make him our closer tomorrow if you struggle. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's what, you know, what did the Yankees really trade for at this deadline? Because I think overall it was an underwhelming, kind of disappointing deadline. I think they traded for accountability. They traded for a guy who could play multiple positions on the infield and outfield. So if you don't do your job, he'll take it.
Yeah.
They traded for a guy who, you know, a couple of bullpen arms who, hey, you're not good enough in the bullpen. Here's some guys who can take it. So that's basically what they traded for, accountability. I wish they would have done it in the starting rotation too, but I guess Clark Schmidt coming back will bring some of that accountability too. I don't know. I saw Clark Schmidt the other day. I was walking in the city and I was like, yo, what's up? And he was like, yo. Cool.
And that was like, it. Yo, yeah. Who are you? Get away from
me. I forget. Like, I don't forget, but like, you wait. I still like kind of waved, whatever, because I'm wearing
the Yankees. They don't know you.
But, right. Yeah, but they don't know you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so like, I didn't want to bother him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wanted to like acknowledge I know who he is. Like, if I saw like a kind of like a friend that I'm friendly ish with, but not enough to like go over and say hi, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
But why should he say anything bad? He doesn't know who I am. But I was kind of like, yo, what's
hey,
up, Clark?
Hey, Clark. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know my name?
Yeah. Anyway, it's funny. Anyone else? Obviously, Scooble doesn't get moved in the end. Crochet doesn't get moved in the end. That's what we're talking about. Like,
yeah, Luis Robert didn't get moved. I think his value kind of goes down a little bit. Again, I wouldn't want to play for the White Sox. I don't think anyone does. Who was the? Did you see the picture?
Miguel Vargas went to the White Sox, right?
Yes. Yes. Which there is some interest there. I will say Miguel Vargas. You know, it looks like he's going to play. There's some interest there. Keep an eye on Miguel Vargas. If he gets hot, he certainly could be worth an ad.
I like Eflin in Baltimore, by the way. That's one we didn't mention. I like Eflin in Baltimore.
Eflin to Baltimore. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I like that better, I think. Who was the other pitcher who went to Baltimore we were talking about? No, I can't find Rogers.
Yeah, Trevor Rogers. I'm like looking back at the notes. So I'm just thinking.
I think Eflin might bring more value.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if you're asking who's going to have a better second half, I'd put my money on Eflin.
I'd go Eflin. Now, okay. Overall, before we wrap up, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to get to as well.
No, good.
The point of this episode, and maybe I should have said this at the beginning.
Cut it and look, put it at the front.
We gave you the value for these guys. Now, what you do with that information, you know, some of these guys, maybe you could sell high on. Maybe some of these guys you want to buy low on. Maybe some of these guys you previously didn't have on your roster or had on your roster but weren't starting and you want to put them into starting roles. You know, the value is going to play out over time. But right now, what's an interesting opportunity is to take advantage in whatever league you're in. And maybe you see, hey, a guy who just got traded is still being valued based on the numbers he had with his previous team. Go trade for him. A guy who didn't get traded. People were kind of moving off of him because they thought he was going to get traded or whatever. Take advantage of the fact that there's a lot of uncertainty around this many players at this time of year and see if you can make some shrewd moves. I can't tell you based on, you know, unless you send me your personal roster and what your situation is, I can't tell you exactly what that move is for you.
But yeah, and that does. Sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, but be very aware of what happened this week and how it changes their value. Don't get taken like my cousin who was going to get taken advantage of in a Jorge Soler trade. Be aware. He went to a situation. Okay. Maybe it won't work out. Maybe his value doesn't get elevated to the point that we thought, but I wouldn't trade him today. I'd definitely wait and see and be like, hey, this guy, we've seen him pop off in a situation like this.
Yeah. And you mentioned, like, it's hard to not know what kind of deals to make if you don't see a person's whole team. And I implore anyone, if you're listening to this, take a real look at your team. Like, understand where your team's weaknesses are, whether it's positions, whether it's, you know, average, right? Home runs, you need more power, you need more speed. Understand what those needs are before you make a trade. Because yes, sometimes players' values, I get asked that all the time. Would you make this trade for this guy and this guy? I don't know. Like, what do you need? What do you have? You know, values seem fair, or, you know, they can shift one way or another, depending on your needs, depending on, are you in it? Is this a dynasty? Like, there's so many, you know, variable factors that can affect how you should value guys in a trade. And so just take an honest look at your team before, you know, looking at what you want to trade for and who you're looking for.
All right. So that'll do it for us. Until next time, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Appreciate you all for listening. See ya.